Well, ladies, you all right today? You got a little worse than that to deal with sometimes, don't you? All right, let's see if we can get this talk going today. Lord, have mercy. Fellas, I'm just grateful that the ladies came back. Aren't you, fellas? Just the fellas. All right, let's lay the ground rules out. Here's the ground rules. It's real simple today. Gentlemen, you keep your eyes on me, not on anybody else, all right? Rule number one, don't look to the right nor to the left. No outburst. I don't need your help this morning. Don't say preach, pastor, Taylor. Don't need any of that. Keep your elbows to yourself. Keep your hands to yourself. No gestures. Be quiet. That is bodily quiet. No fidgeting. That is facially quiet. None of that. And just go to God and say, Lord, help her and help me today. Is that all right, everybody? Fellas, just the fellas. Is that all right, fellas? Yeah. Y'all scared already. See that? That's so sad. Hey, we want to welcome all our campuses. Hey, Louisville. Hey, Prosper. Hey, Dallas. Welcome. Thank you so much for being here. Plano, will you help me welcome all our campuses? Thank you, guys. Thanks for hanging out with us today. Appreciate that. Let's just start by standing and reading one verse. I just need one verse in Proverbs that you need to read. Here we go. It's not going to be encouraging, but hopefully it will be helpful. All right. Just anyone. Just bring up one in Proverbs. Not this one. read it with me, please, everybody. Just real loud. Just real. Everybody, guys and girls, today. A constant on a day of steady rain. You may be seated. let's go quickly. My time is going to run out. Last night's service was an hour and 10 minutes. We don't have that much time today, so here we go. All right. Father, guide us, protect us, lead us, inspire us, and encourage us in Jesus' name. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you will not appreciate what God is setting up when he talks about marriage unless you understand the heart of God when he tries to communicate this. Last week we suggested that men have five responsibilities. We suggested that their job is to love her, which means to sacrifice just like Jesus did for her. Which means, men, if you're not hanging on a cross, you still have work to do to create these environments for your bride. Number two, we said, you ought to learn her, which means you ought to study her, which means you ought to prioritize getting to know her. I know you think you know her, but you got lots of more work to do to understand her, which the Bible tells us to do. Number three, not only do you need to learn her, you ought to live with her. That means you need to create an environment for her to thrive. Then we suggested you ought to honor her by lifting her and speaking well of her. Then lastly, we said you ought to cover her because God no longer sees you as two. He now sees you as one, which is why your prayers are hindered when you are not on the same page, which is why communion is a regular reminder to make sure you keep short accounts, not only with your bride, with everyone. Last time we said the reason this is so difficult is because of the culture we live in. We suggested last time, here's what God did. He said, God is the order. Here's the alignment that should take place. God, then it's supposed to be man, then it's supposed to be woman, and then it's supposed to be animal. That's what God created in the book of Genesis. The challenge is, Satan knew that he wanted to disrupt what God had ordered. And so Satan says, I'm going to go to the woman and I'm going to disrupt God's order. And so I'm going to start with the animal, then I'm going to go to the woman, then the woman's going to go to the man, and then the man is going to go complaining at God. He says, That's what I specialize in, and he's still doing it today. Instead of going to the man, he goes to the woman to upend the relationship. Still does it today. We said the issue that the Bible talks about is that it's supposed to, the man's supposed to be the head, at which point a lot of people get offended, well, why he got to be the head? Why he got to be the head? And then he says the dreaded word that the summation of what I want women to know is that you're supposed to be submissive, to which you say, what? Well, what kind of ancient stuff is that? Leave us alone. That's all because your culture and sin has warped God's intended design. So what I want to do today is to remind you, as we did last week, of why this concept that God is calling a mystery is so difficult for you to receive. It's difficult because of what our culture has prioritized and what we have absorbed from our culture, and in light of that, have become used to it now. So here it is. We talked about this last week. This is all refresher, just to remind you of the messed up world that we're in. The main idol in our culture is ourselves. It's the reason you get married to be happy and you get a divorce to be happy. It's all about you. The reason you want to get married, oh my gosh, I can't make it, I need to get married. And then the reason you want a divorce is, I can't stand her, I can't stand him, I want to get a divorce. That's why, because you don't care about what God says, you care about yourself and whether you are happy or not. Next one. So then we suggested last time, number two, that the main doctrine is autonomy. Here's the danger. This is so important to get. Here's the danger of the culture we live in. 30 years ago, 25, 20, 30 years ago, truth was out here and everybody was trying to discern truth. That's what happened 20 years ago. So you had truth out here. Every religion was trying to figure out what's truth. I need to go discern truth. What's truth? That's not the case today. Today, they have masterfully designed it so that truth is no longer out here. Truth is in here. That's why you hear people saying, this is my truth. I don't care about you. It's my truth. In other words, I am my own God, and I determine what's truth for me. I don't care what your truth. Do your truth. I'm going to do my truth. You know why we have to get that way? Because you got to somehow relegate the Bible to nothing. And what this culture has masterfully done is they have now allowed all these young people to say, this is my truth. I don't know about your truth, Mama. That's your truth. I don't know about your truth, Dad. That's your truth. But my truth is I can do what I want when I want to do it. Culture we live in. Next one. You got, ooh, this is bad. The central act of worship is being entertained. This is so huge. We don't even realize that this is affecting us all the time. What we want is to be entertained. That's why when you sit down too long, you can't even sit down and think anymore because you're going to call yourself bored. That's why your kids, they're like, I'm bored. I want something to do. I'm bored. What's good, boy? Get the heck out of here and go do something. I'm talking about bored. But that's the world, because if you're not entertained, and then if you're not careful, parents, you will feed the monster. So every opportunity you get, okay, let's go. They're not happy. Let's go make them happy. Let's take them over here. And before you know it, what you do is you give your kid great experiences, but they don't know what a loving dad and a loving mom looks like because you've never slowed down just to enjoy them. You're always being entertained. Same thing. If you're not careful in marriage, you're always looking for what's next. What's the next big thing for us? What are we doing big? The Christian life is boring. It's you and Jesus kicking it. That's boredom to this world. But it's fuel to you. Because that's the way God created us. That's why it's called spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines. If you want a salacious life, if you want a life that's just full of fun and everything else, then you're going to act a plumb fool to get it every single time. That is why this is so dangerous, because you don't even realize that, look at what they're doing. Why are we not doing anything? We got to be. There you go. Next one. Next one says the two main shrines, cell phone and television. I'm just telling you, it's what drives us. The last one, we're intoxicated with this thing called sexual intercourse. It's what we can't get enough of in any form. That's the culture we live in. That's why when I come to you today and say, hey, man, let's talk about the head. And let's talk about being submissive. You'd be like, get the heck up out of here.
because it seems so foreign to you. So let's get to your notes now, now that I've set the stage, and let's talk about it. Last week in this service, the woman fell down, so I'm not fooling with y'all today. She's sitting today. I'm not fooling with y'all. You're not going to embarrass me no more, ladies. So today she's kicking it, sitting. She can't go nowhere. Praise the Lord, somebody. She's drinking. Let me see what's in this cup, by the way. Let me see what she's drinking out of that cup right there. What we said last week was, men, if you're going to do what God's called you to do, you've got to go to another place, the heavenlies, to get the word of God in your mind so you can live out what God's calling you to do. Ladies, today is your day. I love the word of God because of what it's going to do for us on today. So let me start by the front page of your notes and tell you what the challenge that we face is. When we see the word head, God wants us, men, this is you, God wants us to be a humble and loving leader. That's what he wants us to be. The head directs what the body does and where it goes. So he wants us to be humble and loving. When you don't do that, man, you're going to become hostile and hostile domination. On the other side, when you don't do that, man, you're going to have lazy indifference. This is your, so you need to ask, man, you need to circle on your chart, which one of these am I prone to? Which one? Because you are. Everybody is. We're prone to one, this side, or this side. By the way, man, you're going to be like, Pastor, get off of us. It's Women's Day today. You're going to be prone to give your all at work, and then when you come home, you're going to be prone to lazy indifference. You're going to be prone to it because you think, I've given everything. Now, when I come home, I can just chill. No, your work really begins. Your most important work begins when you get home. And if you don't reject lazy indifference, then you will begin the process of creating an unhealthy environment. Ladies, your turn. What God desires of you, watch this now. Men, don't say a word. What God desires of you now is intelligent and willing submission. It's where you desire to come up under, be in alignment with what God desires. Here we go. Everybody ready? Ladies, manipulative control. If you do not pursue what God's calling you to do, then you're going to live in manipulative control. Pastor, what does that mean? What does that mean? You're going to use your assets to manipulate and get what you want. Interpret that how you want. You're going to use crying to get what you want. Anybody ever see ladies cry? They don't want, hey, dude, I told you, don't say nothing, dog. This brother in here today talking about, yeah, I've seen it. Whoa, dude, calm down, calm. Don't say nothing, fellas. I don't need your encouragement. I'm encouraging myself in the Lord today. Here we go. Don't say, gentlemen, don't say none. Just calm down. Let him use the word. That's what he does. Anyways, here we go. You ever see ladies use crying to manipulate and get what they want? All of us, ain't nothing going. For real. And by the way, gentlemen, ooh, you need to know when your wife is crying and when she's crying. Oh, there's a difference. Oh, there is one to get your attention. And then there's another when the heart's hurting. And you need to know the difference between two. Anyways, that's another story altogether. Number two, not only is she supposed to be this, on one side you're gonna be manipulative control, the other side, bracing insubordination. This one she says, I don't care what you say. I'm gonna do me. I don't care what you do. I don't care how you do it. I can't stand a bone in your body, and I'm going to do me. Here's the danger of that. This is when you say, I'm not sleeping in this bedroom anymore. I'm going to my own. This is when you say, I'm not sharing accounts anymore. I'm going to go do my own. This is when you come up with all the good reasons why this is what I have to do, and if I don't do it, then I'm going to leave. So might as well let me do this until the kids are gone, then we can go our separate ways. And you come up with clear insubordination, and you make it look like God told you so. Preach, Pastor. Don't say nothing, man. Don't say nothing. All right, let's go to the text now, and let's see what the text has to say. First Peter chapter 3 is where we're going to hang out today. And I just want you to know that as we go into this text, it is one of the most beautiful pictures I have ever seen, how God lays this passage out. I want you to go to the middle of your notes, and I want you to go to the right side of your notes so I can explain 1 Peter chapter 3. This is where he says, verse 1. Pick it up in verse 1 for me, please. Verse 1, he says, in the same way, you wives, be, here's the word, say it with me, please, everybody, be to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, here's the beautiful image, they may be one without a word by the behavior of their wives. Wives, you have all kind of influences that you don't even realize, but you think the way you do it is with your words, and the Bible is telling you that is the least most effective way. So, let me show you what he's trying to get to. I can't start at verse 1. I have to start at verse 5. If you're going to fully understand what he's trying to tell you today, ladies, you have to start at verse 5. So go to verse 5 for me, and let's see what he has to say to us today. The key phrase is in the center of the word, center of the verse. For in this way, in former times, the holy woman also, say this phrase with me, everybody, who hoped in... No, that's not everybody. Everybody together. All campuses. Here we go. Who you don't ever get to submissiveness unless you start here. The root structure, ladies, the root structure. If you're going to be able to produce the fruit of submission, you've got to start at the root structure. And what's driving you is your hope in God, your trust in God, you knowing that your God will provide for you and he will not allow you to be crushed. Since you believe that and since you're convinced in that, it starts with you trusting God. So if you don't want to be submissive, it's because you don't trust God. Because that's the root structure that it starts in. That's why Peter is telling him, hey, if you don't trust in God, then you can't get to the fruit that God's asking you to produce. It has to start here. So he continues. He says, next verse, verse number 6, here's what it says. The root structure is hope. Next one. Then he says, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, we're going to get to that in a minute, and you have become her children, if you do what is right, here we go, without, say this phrase with me, being by, why are you not frightened by any fear, ladies? Because your root structure is God. Because you trust Yahweh, then your structure, your root structure says, you don't have to be fearful because your God is overseeing and protecting this entire situation. So when you don't trust God, that's why you're fearful. When you trust him, now you can be fearless, and you can be fearless because it is God, the sovereign one, that you trust in the midst of the situation that you're going through. I know where you're going in a minute, but I'm going to go there. So then he says, verse number 2 and 3. So he starts with the structure. He goes all the way up now, and he's now talking about the fearlessness of this woman. Go to verse 3. And then he says, what are the branches and the leaves? This is beautiful. If you got a Gucci purse today, I'm sorry. Your adornment must not merely be, say this phrase with me, external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on. Here's what he says. He says, if that's your priority over the next verse, it is revealing something to you. I love the Bible. You can't fight me, fight the Bible. Next verse. But let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality, say these two words with me that you don't like, of a and, listen, here's why this is significant, which is precious in the sight of God. Go back to verse number 3. Go back to verse number 3. Ladies, you spend so much time on the external braiding of the hair and on the wearing of jewelry and on the, it's not dresses anymore, it's something else. But anyways, on all of that, and you put so much meticulous time there, And God's saying, whoa, 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 this is good. He didn't say, don't do this, but he says, there is something that you should put more meticulous time into. Here we go. Here's what it is. Next verse. He tells you, he says, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable, the quality that cannot fade, of a gentle and quiet spirit. And this is the part I love the most. Which to God, it's precious. Now listen. If you put more weight on the external rather than the internal, listen. It is revealing your faith and your root structure is not so much in God as it is in how you look. What you're suggesting is, God, I can do better taking care of the external and using that to get what I want than to trust you, root structure, than to be fearless because I trust you, because you got my back. I don't have to talk my way into getting what I want. I can trust my God to get what I want. He tells us, he says, if you start there and then you'll be fearless, but the reason you're fearless is because of the God you serve, then he says, then you don't have to do the talking. I can do it. Now, let me explain how this goes in the world. For a lot of you ladies, you don't even realize you're in the way of God trying to get to your husband. You don't even realize that your talking is in the way. Every time you come up to him and you're talking, God wants to clobber him, but can't clobber him because you in the way. And if you ever trust God enough to do what only he can do, change your heart, then you will see that your talking changes nothing. And what kind of lasting change you need comes from God, which is why he knows a quiet and gentle spirit is what will win him over. Ladies, I know what you're saying. You're saying two things. Number one, you're saying, Pastor, hold up. Are you saying to me that if this man is acting a plumb fool, beat me up, I should still just let him do it and trust God? No, because there's a caveat in the text. The text says, ladies, if this is the covering of God, this is the supernatural, your supernatural God, that nothing can happen to you unless it first goes through his hand and you're in the safety of this covering of God, then he says, as long as the man is under the covering of God, because remember, God, man, woman, everybody got a covering. So if he comes out here and tries to hit you, then he's not under God's covering. So you need to say, no, bro, I can't follow you out there because you are now outside of the covering of God. If I'm going to follow you, you got to come back under the covering because you undercover too. So if you ain't under God's covering, mister, then you can't ask me to follow you because, see, you out of line. Oh, keep your clap. You didn't clap on nothing else, so keep it. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, ladies, whenever this man decides that he's going to do his stuff, not be under God's covering, here we go, and be misaligned and say, God, I don't need you to cover me. I can cover myself. Then he's now left the covering of God. When he leaves the covering, that's your time to say, mister, excuse me, but if I'm going to follow you, I need you to come back under the covering so I can follow you. So he says, this is important. Because you love to run to, ladies, that is, you love to run to the extreme and miss the heart of what the text is saying. The text is suggesting the way you get to a submissive spirit is you must start with what? Everybody, tell me what it is. Well, you must start with hope in. Come on, everybody. You must start with hope in. That's where you have to start. If God's not the anchor that you rest in and that you rest under and your trust is in him, then you're not going to want to submit because you're going to think you have to pull this off. So he's telling us, So the only way you get there is if you have that, then you're fearless. Why are you fearless? Because God got you. Since he's gotten you, then you can have a quiet and gentle spirit, and you know you can have it because, and you know you want it because it's precious in the sight of God. Some ladies are saying, Pastor, you don't get it. It was so hard for me, listen, growing up that my parents or my mom or my dad gave me responsibilities early in life, so I know naturally how to do stuff. It's just natural. I can lead. Why? Because I've been leading since I was 11. This is huge. Single moms, let me talk to you for a moment. And what you do is you get harder on the girls and you cuddle your boys because your boys is a representative of a form of love that you desire. And so in coddling him, listen, I'm going to show you this, its effect in a minute. In coddling him, you are now stopping him from becoming who God's called him to be, but the girls get the leadership responsibility. You better take care of the whole family. I'm gone. I got to go to work, but you better do this. Listen now. So now, when she's looking for a man, she's not going to find a man that can lead her because that's a threat to her. So now she don't know how to deal with that. So she goes and finds somebody who she can influence. Really, she's not looking for a husband. She's looking for a son who she can tell what to do. Then you come to church. The pastor say, you better lead that woman. Now he tries to lead, and you tell your son, perpetrating as your husband, boy, you better sit down right there. Don't laugh. Do not laugh. This is so true. This is so true. Because you have so many ladies who would not marry a leader. But when you come to church, they ask him to be one. But you wouldn't be attracted to him if he was one. This is so huge. So now how do we flip that? Which is the hard part of marriage. Now you got to have a man mentor your boy. Preach, Pastor. Now you got to have a man walk with him and show him what it looks like. Because the church is demanding, say, sir, lead. You got to have a vision. Because you have no vision, she don't have nothing to follow. So when you don't have, when you have a man that is a boy instead of a man that's a man, and he's scared of you, ladies, you do know that some of y'all's husbands scared of y'all. Don't say nothing, they don't say the time either. You do, and they're scared of you. They're afraid of you, and you created it. You created them being fearful of you. The challenge with that is now you come to church and the church people say, he need to be the head and he need to be leader, but he don't know how to do it. Then what the heck do I do, Pastor? Trust God that he just get better miraculously? So here's the challenge. You've got to ask and answer the question. God, how do you, I need you to send me a man that can help my husband lead better. And he'll never be as good a leader as you are. But you got to celebrate the victories he has and ask God to encourage his spirit. This is so vital. Pastor, I can't follow a parked car. I know. But what you don't want to realize and own is that you married a parked car. You want him miraculously to change now because, okay, you're not feeling me. Let me help you a little further. Most ladies get married not to make their husbands better. They get married so marriage can be the launching pad of their life. You walk like that when you're confident in God's word. Listen. Listen. come on. Listen. You had everything going for you. Everything. You had a great job, you had a great house, you got a great car, you got everything. The only thing you were lacking is a husband.
So you really, when you go to the parties, everybody got a boo except you. So now you be like, I need a boo. It don't matter. As long as he has a heartbeat, I need a boo. You see, y'all love to laugh, but it's the truth. Listen, listen, listen. So you make a desperate move because you wanted to be happy when you go to the parties. So now you go to the parties with your boo. But now you're frustrated because your boo can't articulate as good as you. You don't like when you're painting the problem, do you? So now you want to beat the dude up because he ain't good as your girl's boo. Do you see the cycle that we go through? Do you see it? And it happens all the time. Instead of saying, God, thank you for the person you gave me. Here's what I'm going to do now. I'm going to pray. God, you gave me $1 million kind of husband, and my job it is to birth it in him, not to complain about him every step of the way. So take the husband you got and say, God, thank you for blessing me with him. And it's now my job to fan the flame of vision, the little bitty vision that you give to him. But I'm going to bring out every piece of it because, God, you gave him to me for me to make him better. And if he's not better, it's my fault because I'm the one that you gave to. And you said, I must make him better. And the reason he's not is because instead of complaining all the way, you should have been encouraging him all the way. And he desperately needs you to pull it off. And he can't pull it off because he's afraid to come home. Because all he's going to hear when he's coming home is what he did not do right. When was the last time you begged this man and you told him, sweetie, I am here to help you get where God's taking you. Every single day, ladies, you need to say to that man, Burr, what can I do today to help you get where God's taking you? What can I do today? That's why God created Adam, Genesis 2. He said, go to bed, buddy. Took a rib out. He got up. Voila. He saw a fine young lady. And God said, hey, lady, I want you to help him do what I've called him to do. Your primary responsibility is to help that man. Your primary responsibility is to help that man accomplish what God's called both of y'all to do, which is why as a couple you need a vision bigger than yourself, bigger than just kids, bigger than just your kids. And if you don't have one, no wonder these little things take you out because you have nothing eternal that you're doing together for the glory of God. Ladies, and this is huge, man. I'm telling you. What are you doing that's bigger than both of y'all collectively? And if you don't know, then go to your closet and beg God, both of you. God, why did you bring us together? It's for his kingdom, not just for you to procreate. And you need to ask him. And you need to wrestle with that until you get there. Ladies and gentlemen, this is huge. So number one, he wants you to submit. He says you're not going to get there unless you find it in the heart of the root structure of your faith, which is you trusting God. Then the trunk is you being fearless because you know God's got your back. Then it's going to show itself not in the outside, but in the inside and what's going on inside of you. And the reason you can be submissive is because of all the nutrients coming up through the word of God into the fruit, which is why you have God. Hope in his promises. Then you're fearless. Then he says, the branches are your focus on the internal, not the external. Then he says, the leaves are, this reveals that now you have a quiet and gentle spirit and you don't have to manipulate and you don't have to use your mouth to get what you want. And then you can be submissive. But the only reason you're here is because of everything beneath the surface. That's what he says. You don't get there unless you work all your way up. Number two, second thing you ought to do, go to the left side of the page. Left side of the page. Here's what it says. Left side of the page says, then number one, you ought to be the helper. What every Christian wife needs to know, you ought to be the helper. That's your primary responsibility to come alongside and help that guy. If you go to Proverbs 31, you'll see it laid out all there, how this woman helps her husband. All right, your job. Here we go. If you're helping other people downtown get where they want to go, and you're not helping your husband get where he wants to go, there's a problem. If you give all your energies, all your gifts, all your abilities, all your skills to help Mr. Downtown, and when your husband comes home, he has nobody to help. Well, you didn't do that yet. You didn't do nothing yet. What you doing? What you waiting all day long? What you doing? And all you're giving him is lip. Then why did God give you those gifts? Is it just for downtown? Or did he give you to support the man he's blessed you with so that you both can go where God wants you to go? It's a dangerous thought that you will do more for your boss than you will do for your husband. Your boss can depend on you. Ooh, he can depend on you and your faithfulness more than your husband can. There is something wrong with that. And you ought to admit it and call it what it is. But that's what he's telling you. You just can't do that. But you say, Pastor, I don't respect him. You don't get it, Pastor. I don't respect him. He don't do nothing. He stay home and he don't do nothing. When I want him to get a job, he don't know how to go get a job. And I'm tired of it. To which I say to you, I like to come closer to you. To which I say to you, ladies, maybe the reason he don't have a job is because all he hears in his head is how bad he is from you and not how great he is and what God wants to do in him. Maybe you're the problem with your mouth and not him. Number two, with reference to that illustration, ladies, when you have a husband and you argue, Pastor, I can't respect him. Here's what God says. I don't expect you to respect him all the times. I don't expect you to say, Pastor, I can't follow this all the time. You don't respect your boss sometimes, but you still do what he says and come on their alignment. You do. You don't respect the police officer sometimes, but you still line up and do what he says. You don't like what the judge says, but you still honor that position and you still do what he says, even though you don't like it. But for some reason, when it comes to your husband, you want to control everything. God says, I want you to honor the position that he has given him as head. And even when you don't like it, I want you to honor him. This is huge. By the way, let me help you out. Watch the culture again. That's why it ought to scare you. When people, see, you're not going to like this again. That's why it ought to scare you. If you're a Democrat and you see people just ream out some people, and if you're a Republican and see people reaming them out, and just be careful that you get so used to it that you do the same thing in your house. Be careful that your kids get so used to it that they don't want to follow you. Because it's still a principle of the Bible that said God put them there. He put your husband there. And your job, it is to make him look good. Fellas, if you're here, just say amen. You don't even say it passionately, but I don't need it. I'm good. Listen, this is so very important. Number one, your job is to be submissive. Number two, your responsibility is to honor and respect that man. It is fuel to him. He desperately needs it. He carries a weight that you will never understand. And even though you think it's minuscule, he is carrying this weight. And what he needs from you is not how bad he is, but he needs you telling him that God's got greatness for him. He really does. We really, really do. Every man will gravitate, every man, to the place of honor. Every man will. You know why he loves his job? Because he gravitates, because people tell him on his job, great job today. You did a great job. Well, it don't matter who tell him. He works hard because he gets affirmation there. He gets honored there. You know why he don't want to come home? Because he don't get any there. When he comes home, all he hears from you is, did he do what I tell you today? on what he needs from you. It's, honey, I'm just glad you're home. Thanks for being faithful. I appreciate it. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for being here. I value that. So look at the text now. Look at your notes, excuse me. And you see, he needs to be a helper, number one. Number two, you need to respect him. In your speech, you need to reverence him. You need to notice him. You need to honor him. You need to esteem him. In your thoughts, you need to value his opinion. You need to admire his wisdom. You need to consider his needs. Listen. The third one, to the left-hand side, third down, is you ought to love your husband. You ought to love him. Unconditionally accept and look at love from his perspective, not from yours. The challenge that you have and I have is that we love to love people the way we want to be loved, don't we? And we love to love them the way we, and we do things that we think we would want so that they can feel loved, and oftentimes they don't. And you've got to figure out, how does your husband, what does he value the most, and how do you give that to him? Because he desperately needs it. Number four is the one that's across the street, which is to submit to your husband. Submit to your husband. That is, find his vision and always put yourself under the vision that he has for the family. Which means, mister, you need to come together and you need to get that vision. And you need to figure out where we're going as a family so that together we can pursue what God's called us uniquely to do. This is huge. So ladies, you're sitting on the hair, you're trusting God, you're kicking it, and you're asking God, I don't like the husband I got. I just don't like him. I'm closing. God, I don't like the husband I got. He's not doing what I want him to do. He is doing his own thing. He's self-centered. He's egotistical. He's everything I don't like. What do you do in those situations, Pastor? What do you do? Go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, let's pick it up. At about verse 25, let's go there. Ephesians 5. Husband loves your wife, get it? Next verse. Next verse. Next verse. Here we go. Next verse. Next verse. We're going to get there one day. Go back up to 22 then. There we go. Wives, subject yourselves to your own husbands. It didn't say if he's good. It didn't say if he does everything you want him to do. It didn't say if everything is perfect. It didn't say if everything is going the way you want it to go. He says, subject. But if you don't have the root structure, you're not going to do it. If you follow your culture and all you want is happiness, then you're not going to do it. If all you're looking for is how do I be entertained, then you're not going to do it. That's why your culture is so radically different from what God desires. Let me talk about something for a minute. This culture in the church, that is, needs to learn about suffering because we run from it every opportunity we get. If we were living all the way back then in the first century, we'd be radically different because it wasn't popular to be a Christian. It wasn't popular at all. But the least little thing happens to us and we don't like it anymore. Then we want to bail. And God's saying, you're not leaving a good legacy for the next generation. We've got to, I'm going to do a whole series on suffering. Because, guys, I just think we get to throw in the towel and tap out too easily. Next verse. For the husband is the head, and your job is to follow wherever the head goes. Pastor, hold on. But what if the head's not following you? I told you already, he's not under covering. Therefore, you don't have to do it. But you use that as the caveat too much because you're looking for a loophole. I want to suggest that when you don't like what your husband is doing, it is your job. I'm going to show you exactly what I want you to do. It is your job to go to your closet and scream out to God. It looks like this. And you run in your closet. God, I can't stand it. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. I can't stand nothing about this. You get out of your closet. Hey, sweetie, is there anything I can help you to do today? Don't laugh. Don't laugh. Don't laugh. Don't laugh. Don't laugh. I'm applying 1 Peter chapter 3. You scream out to God, you can't take it. And then you go support that man where God's taken him. Ladies, I am imploring you. What you're doing is not working. You do this in your closet, and you do this in front of your husband. You don't do this in front of your girls, because too many of you ream your husband out in front of other people and think this man's going to love being around you. Too many of you have the audacity to ream him out on social media. Are you kidding me? And then you want this man to turn around and love you? When everything in him says, how could she do this to me? She's taking the air out of me. Here's what you do. Bible tells you. Go before God. Hey, God, can't take it. I need some help, God. I'm working on my faith, God. I'm hoping in you. I don't see nothing, but I'm hoping in you. You go back to your husband and you love that man the way God's called you to love him. It's the reason why you need community. You know why you need community? So that when you want to give up, your community says, keep going a little further. It's the reason you can't do it in isolation. Because your community will help you stir the fire so you can keep staying in that marriage. You desperately need it. All the ladies stand, please. All campuses, all the ladies stand. Taking a long time to stand, ladies. All the men in the house, all the kids in the house, will you help me honor these ladies? Come on, come on. Now, ladies, here's what I know. I know that behind the scenes, you're giving it all you got. I know that there's some stuff that happened in the past that causes you fear about the future and about the husband that you got. I know. I know you're killing it for those kids, and those kids are so much better off because of all that you do for that family. I know. I know that you have a husband that's not perfect. I know that he makes some big mistakes, and he has. I know. And I know that you are giving everything you got just to stay focused and thrive in this marriage. I know you are. I know that for a fact. But please hear me clearly. Your husband needs you. He pretends as if he doesn't, because he's learned the art of not being hurt by you, so now he pretends as if he doesn't need it. But he desperately needs you to honor him, respect him. He desperately wants you to follow the game plan. Most importantly, he desperately needs your help if he's going to fulfill what God's called him to do. And ladies, I'm going to ask you to trust God again. I'm going to ask you to trust him again. That if your structure and your hope is in God, you can be fearless. And if that leads to you having a quiet and gentle spirit, then you can fall in line and not go the way of Eve. I'm telling you, he needs you desperately to help him pull off what God's calling him to do, what God's calling both of you to do. So allow me to pray for you, if you don't mind. Right after which, I'm going to ask the men to honor these ladies again. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for every woman standing in this house. I thank you for their story and the past that they have gone through to get to where they are today. They're some of the most hardest working people on the planet. And you've given them those gifts. You've given them those abilities. They're holding this whole thing together. And for that, God, I know you're grateful. For that, God, I know their husbands are grateful. But God, we live in a culture where they have no models of what it looks like to help, to come alongside, to speak value to. And so will you help them to be the models for the next generation, please? Will you help them that in their house, they'll honor this man, they'll speak well of this man, they will encourage and affirm this man that you have blessed them with? Will you teach them? If they've never seen it before, God, will you teach them through your word how to do it? And when they try and they don't get the results they want, will you affirm them in their spirit so they don't give up and go the way of the world, but that they will try again because your mercies are new every morning? Encourage their hearts as they seek to encourage these men that desperately need their help and their respect and their honor. Will you empower them afresh to pull this off for your glory and for your honor? Will they hear the applause of heaven if they hear it from nowhere else, as they seek to fight the good fight, as they seek to bring honor back? Will you help them, God, to keep fighting, to keep honor in their house and honor the man of that house? We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, just the ladies, will you say it with me three times? We're bringing honor back. Three times, ladies, say that with me. We're bringing honor back. Two more times. We're bringing honor back. Come on, hold on, ladies. You're not that enthused. Come on. I need a little more passion behind that. Here we go, everybody, all campuses. Here we go, everybody. Two times, because we failed one. Two times. Here we go. We're bringing honor back. Here we go. A little more passion. We're bringing honor back. One more time. We're bringing honor back. Now, men, you help me celebrate these ladies. Come on. Woo! You may be seated. One Covina Church, I need you to know I'm very, very, very proud of you. I'm just telling you, in most churches, people ask me all the time, how do you say that stuff to these people? And I say, because we have a body that believes in the words. It's not my words and it's God's. They'll appreciate it. And I say it to you often, but I needed to keep telling you, I appreciate the fact that you're open to hearing what God says, even if it's not popular and even if it's not easy to now go and depend on the Spirit of God to pull it off. We're going to have some people up here in a moment that want to pray with you. If you're here and you're a couple and you just missed it, you want to bring your wife down for prayer, you can do that. If you're here and you're a female that just wants somebody to pray in a moment, I want you to bring them up here and we'll stay as long as we can to do so. You cannot do this by the flesh. So if you're here and you're not a Christian, you can't do this by the flesh. You just can't. You need to be surrendered to the Spirit of the living God. And that only comes through faith alone in Christ alone. And so if you don't know Jesus today, then this is a great time to do it. Because this is not some to-do list that you check off. Let me just speak well of him and think that you'll give up after 3 days unless you know Jesus. All right. So prayer team, will you come up now, please? If you want somebody to pray with you, I want you to take pride in coming down and doing that. Number two, if you want to talk to Hope, she's going to be outside through those doors, and you can talk to her. If you want to talk to her some more, if you want to get one of her magazines, you can pull it off. It's a magazine with her story in there. You can do that. Ladies, we'll see you on Wednesday night. Singles and young adults, if you have never, I'm just telling you, if you're not registered yet, please go register for that conference. And then if you're a guest here, thanks so much for being here today. There's a card, just fill it out, turn it in, and then I need every person to go on the phone or on the card and fill that out so that you can sign up for Easter and volunteer for one of our Easter services. Thanks for being here, family. It is an honor to serve with you. Thanks so much. You're dismissed.